It is, I do appreciate being here, and Justin contacted me and to help in these series of meetings. More about Jesus. I appreciate that song. We didn't plan this. Johnny and I didn't talk about it, but that's a perfect way to start this week. More about Jesus. Because our theme is, it's about Jesus. We're here because of Jesus and because of the things that He's done. And so it's all about Him. The prayer that was led. The spiritual things and blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. If you would turn to Mark chapter 1 in your swords. Mark chapter 1. We're going to go from Mark chapter 1 to Matthew chapter 13. If I just may give a little more. My name is Steve Ellis, if you haven't figured that out yet. My wife in the blue dress, Charla. Emma go to class. All right, little Emma, she's 10. And she's already went to class. We have an older daughter. Suzanne taught her. Named Taryn, she's married to a guy named Tyler, and they're in Cookeville, and we don't see them much. They just don't know who we are anymore. That's a joke, of course. I teach at Warren County Middle School. I teach 8th grade American History. Just give you a little background myself. Taught with Suzanne a couple, was it 2 years? I think we both left the same year. And had a great time at Boyd. It was time to move on, so I moved on to middle school. Teach American history there, and I've been at Bobby Branch, working with the youth for about 20 years. Been in ministry about 22. I resigned from Bobby Branch, at least I thought I had, and went and preached at a little place called Whitechapel. And this reminds me a lot of Whitechapel. All right, close knit, you know, God's family. The church is known as God's family, and it really is. I miss sometimes smaller congregations because it really is family feeling about it. So I was there. The elders at Bobby Branch called and begged. They begged. Oh, Steve, please come back. Please come back. That's a lie. But they asked me to come back. Tyler Boyd was there, and he asked me when Tyler left, they asked me to come back. It's about Jesus. Right now we're going to talk about Jesus in the water. If you haven't figured out from Mark 1, and we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 3. But it's all about Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus in the water. Our sermon this morning, our lesson, is going to be about Jesus in the wilderness. Tonight we're going to be talking about Jesus in the pasture, and I stretched that a little bit so I can get into John chapter 10. God, He's the good shepherd. He's the door to the sheep. And so, invite people. And try to get people here. I want to say this. And I say this in love. Nobody should be embarrassed from any of the lessons that I'm going to present. If you have someone that's maybe not members of the Churches of Christ, nobody's going to be embarrassed. Some toes might hurt. Mine hurts almost every lesson I give, to be quite honest. All right? But don't. The gospel's going to be preached in its truth, in its simplicity. But invite, invite, invite. Okay. Now, in Mark chapter 1, we're going to talk about Jesus in the water. And begin with verse 9. Now, this is a class. This is actually where I'm more comfortable. Behind the pulpit, I get a little nervous. But out here, this is my profession. This is what I do every day. I might ask a question, and you can talk. All right? Verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I was going to ask the question, what's going on in these verses? Oh, I'm sorry. One more introduction. I'm so sorry. I'm Team Superman. All right, so let's not even get started on it. You're Batman? That's cool. We know this is Superman. Watch one of these verses.
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. John the Baptizer. Hey, look at that. It's really what it is. Baptizes Jesus. It's one of the most monumental events in the Bible. All through Matthew, Mark, and Luke record this. John refers to it, alludes to it. It's a big deal event. What else do you see in these verses?
God was pleased by the obedience of Christ.
Absolutely. The voice. That's a great point. We're going to talk about that more in just a second. Yes. What else?
All three members of the Godhead.
That's a beautiful. If you didn't catch that, we'll talk about that too. Did you know what you see? Yeah, we talk about the Godhead, the Trinity, if you will, Trinitarian. It's all right there in those verses. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to start with Mark. We're going to spend some time in Matthew chapter 3. But I want to start with Mark because Mark, in verse 1, he gives her at the beginning of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark talks about John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, and he's in the wilderness. He's baptizing, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And he just jumps right into it. There's no genealogy. There's no lineage. There's no birth story. There's no shepherds. There's no wise men. There's nothing about Jesus' youth. Nothing like he jumps right into this event. And I tell you, that's a pretty big event that's going on. This is Jesus' first coming out, if you will. So Mark begins right as his first public appearance at his baptism. Now, trivia. Everybody pay attention. This might be, you might be on Jeopardy someday. You might need to know this. How old was Jesus at this event? Around 30. Luke tells us in his gospel, in this account of this, he's around 30 years of age, and thus begins the story, if you will, of his public ministry. Now, by the time Jesus arrives for his baptism, John, and this varies. It depends on research, where you're looking at the research. John the Baptist probably been preaching around 6 months. Best as I can research and ascertain. He's moving up and down the Jordan Valley, out the wilderness, around the what river? Jordan River. I hope to go someday. The preacher I work with at Bobby Branch, Tony Lawrence, takes trips there. You might want to get with him if you're interested in going. I don't know what you think about with the Jordan River. You ever been to the Mississippi River? Who's been to the Mississippi River? Nobody? Few? All right. Get that out of your mind. That's not what we're talking about. It's more a glorified creek. Now, there are some places sort of wide, sort of deep, but it's not what you're maybe thinking. It's flowing Mississippi or Tennessee River or Cumberland River. It's just not that way. But there are places that is wide enough and plenty deep enough to baptize and baptize several people. Still to this very day. All right, so that's where John's at. People are coming to John. They're flooding into him from not only Jerusalem, but the Bible says Judea. Why are these people coming to John? Look at verse 4. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Attached to that. So that's what he's doing. And he's preaching judgment. He's preaching. By the way, he's preaching. He starts out preaching the same thing. As soon as Jesus starts his, quote, public ministry, John says the same thing that Jesus begins to say, which was what? Okay, well, repent for what's at hand.
Kingdom of heaven.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, get your life right. The kingdom's coming. It's on its way. Now, so, with all that said, one day, among all these crowds, pointing to John, here comes none other than Jesus. The best of my research, this is the only time in the Bible, that they meet. Now, let me ask you something. Is it possible they might have met before? Why? I think so too. Why?
Well, they're related.
They're kinfolk.
Not played together.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. You know, you remember that story. Elizabeth, Zacharias, very old in age, and they, you know, Zacharias is doing his priestly duties, and angel visits him. You're going to have a son. Remember, Zacharias, like, I'm old. It ain't going to happen. That's my country vernacular saying. It's not going to happen. Remember, he couldn't speak because of that. It does happen. So Elizabeth becomes pregnant with who we become known as John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. But we know that she, Elizabeth, and Jesus' mom, Mary, were related. Matter of fact, when Mary becomes pregnant, she ends up leaving town for a while. And who does she go to visit? Her relative, Elizabeth. And that, they were both, if you will, Mary for sure was miraculous, and I would say even John's to a certain point. At least it's prophesied it's going to happen. So, you remember what happened when Mary came to Elizabeth and started talking? And Elizabeth, baby in the womb, did what? Some type of reaction there. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility they got to play together, at least saw each other. Okay? So, but as far as we know, this is the only meeting, I think, if I research right. Now, they'll send their disciples to each other. Of course, I remember when John gets put in prison right before he's beheaded. Now, what is John's reaction to Jesus saying, I want you to baptize me?
I don't need to be baptized for thee. They show you me very well.
Now that tells you, and I agree. Alright? Number one, he knows who Jesus is as far as the Savior. Because John knew what his job was, right? What was John's job? If I may put it in that way. What was John's mission?
Right, the way of Christ.
Okay. He was born for the purpose to pave the way. To show everybody, clear up the way, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he's baptizing people for a baptism of remission. Repentance for remission of sins to show everybody this is the Christ. He's the one that's coming to point out who it is. Right? So that's what he was born to do. But as was said, to John, this is like, I don't understand. I understand who you are, Jesus, but wait a minute. He's saying what? You want me to baptize you, it should be reversed. Right? Now we know what the answer is, and we're getting there. We know what Jesus says about this. We're going to go there in just a second, Matthew chapter 3. But on the surface, knowing who Jesus is, can you sort of put John's shoes on and maybe sort of realize why he might feel this way?
I felt unworthy because he was pure human, where Christ was deity. He knows that. And he's sinless. So therefore, John knows he probably has some sin in his life that where Christ didn't. He felt unworthy to do it.
I agree. And I think that's a good way to look at it. It's hard for me to even think about it sometimes. I know the answer. I know what Jesus said. I know why he said, no, John, no. We got to do it. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And people have struggled with this. The early writers tried to figure out, this makes no sense. You know, we know what Jesus said to fulfill all righteousness. Let's go ahead and jump to the point. But it still boggled people's minds. I want to look at... let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter. Hold on, if you can, Mark, we're going to come back to Mark chapter 1. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3 and look at it from that perspective now. I want to start in Mark chapter 1, but I just like how Mark just jumps right into it. To impress upon our minds, he could have started any place, but he starts right there. Now, Matthew gives a little fuller account of things. In Matthew chapter 13, it says, then Jesus, chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. That's a big verse. Then Jesus came. Then Jesus arrived. Now, if you break down the Greek construction of all that, it means it's time to go home. You understand what I'm saying? The birth as a child in the temple with Simeon and Anna with at the Jerusalem temple. All those things. With Jerusalem temple had a 12-year-old talking to them. Okay. And he would probably have a name by then. But here, if you break this down, it's like Jesus says, okay, it's time. 30 years old. It's time to make this public and let everybody know I'm here, John. So that's interesting. He's about 30 years old, as we've already noted. But John's just having a hard time. He can't quite handle this. If you break down where it says, John says in verse 14, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. That again, if you break that down in its actual language, it's a continual thing. He kept pressing Jesus. No. No. That tells you the intense part of this. He's really arguing. It's not making sense in his mind. So he got a stalemate here. Now, verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. So again, if you break that down, if I may, here's what we've got so far. If you break down that verse, it's Jesus coming and saying, it's time to make this public, and I am here for this reason, for you to baptize me. That, it's a mind-boggling event that's going on here. And how strong John is pushing back, and how strong Jesus is saying, no, 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 John. This has to be. This has to be. It's for this very reason. Now, again, this is shocking to John. I want to back up. Because to John, if he has no sin, if he needed to, he didn't have to confess anything, if he didn't need to repent of anything, it's not making sense to John. And on the surface, it doesn't make sense to us. But where is this coming from? So I want to back up in Matthew chapter 3, where we're at. And let's see what was happening before that. And I think maybe this is fresh on John's mind. And then Jesus shows up. So maybe this will shed some light. So let's go all the way back to verse 1 of Matthew chapter 3 and read this section. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now notice. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Well, stop a second. Who were the Pharisees and Sadducees? Who were they? They were Jews. They were of a Jewish sect. This might be pushing a little too far. You know, we got our political parties today. Two main ones, Democrats and Republicans. Somewhat in that realm. Although these two groups were tied very closely to Judaism and religion too, obviously. Pharisees believed what? I know you know this. They believed in the resurrection. Sadducees did not. Pharisees took the word of God, but what did the Pharisees also do? According to Jesus. They added what? Their own traditions and doctrines to it. Right? So that's who we're dealing with. So these two groups come. And John calls them out. Brood of vipers. Tell it like it is, man. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, verse 8, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Jesus, I have that fight right now. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat to the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So that's what John has been dealing with. He's had these Pharisees and Sadducees come, and he's saying to them, what? You've come to me to be baptized, and what was John's baptism? A baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And what's he telling the Pharisees and Sadducees?
Get right with the Lord.
Get right with the Lord. Are you really penitent, Pharisees and Sadducees? Because baptism is not baptism without faith and repentance. Is that a true or false statement, church? It's a very true statement. So why baptize somebody if you haven't already changed to be added to the church? That's getting a little ahead of ourselves. All right? So he saw these Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism. And then when John reprimanding them, and here comes Jesus. Now, did Jesus need to repent of anything? Did Jesus need to confess anything? No. So in John's mind, Jesus, you're the Son of God. In John chapter 1, John called, I saw the Lamb of God. If he doesn't need to repent, if there's no penitence for him, then it's bothering John. That's why he tried to prevent it, and Jesus pushed back. Now, it just all seems bizarre to him. It seemed wrong. You need no repentance, he said. You need no baptism of repentance, Jesus. Let me say this. And it's things like this, and you might be sitting there in like I was at one time in my life. It's things like this that helps me in my Christian faith. I need evidences sometimes. I need evidence. And I sometimes need that evidence to bop me in the head sometimes. But here, this whole section cries, you know, think about this. Think about it from this point of view. And enemies of the Bible do say, it's hard for them to come back with this, if the Bible was made up, If the Bible wasn't real, would you put the bad stuff in it? Would you put the arguments in it? Wouldn't you make it all, you know, pure and sugary? Taste, all of it tastes good. But here's a section that's not doing that. You've got Jonas. No, no, no. And each of them pushing back. And that's a great section here. I think it sort of tells me that. The second thing about this, here is one of the clearest examples that you're going to find in the Bible that Jesus is sinless. Matter of fact, in John chapter 1, John said, look, here comes the what? Lamb of God. Here comes that sacrificial lamb. And the only way that Jesus could be that if he was sinless and pure and righteous. So, well, why then would he have to be baptized? Why would Jesus have to go down into the water? And they did go down into the water to be baptized.
He has to set the perfect example for what everybody has to do in order to be saved.
Okay, and I don't have that's a possibility, and I think it's plausible. Yeah, setting that example. Here's the answer. You know, I've beat around the bush. Here's the answer. Verse 15. Jesus answered to John, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Now, let's not miss something here. I think, and I'm guilty of this sometimes. Who needs to fulfill all righteousness?
Everybody.
Everybody. And what's Jesus saying? And you're right. And what's Jesus saying here talking to John? What pronoun did he use?
Us.
And I miss that. So that flies over my head sometimes. They always say, yeah, and we'll teach. And apparently so, Jesus telling John, do this so I can fulfill all righteousness. But it's actually saying for us to fulfill everything that needs to be done. John knew his mission. Again, in John chapter 1, John wrote how John the Baptist was talking about God sent me to baptize. So John knew that. He knew what he was doing or supposed to do. So for us to fulfill all right, John is fulfilling his part of righteousness. Righteousness just means, okay, let's get to the point. What does it mean to fulfill all righteousness? That's Jesus' answer. John, here, John, permit it be so, so we can fulfill all righteousness. So what does that mean?
We knew what ought to be done. Righteousness is right doing.
Right doing.
So doing what God has commanded us to
do. Good point. Good point. And that's it. What else? What other commentary on that?
Well, in him fulfilling every step that's required, it'd be hard for him to preach and hard for people to say, we need to do all this, but I didn't need to do it, but you need to do it. And that was God in the flesh saying, I am a man, I need this. To feel every step of all the righteousness, and that way there can never be any question or doubt as to Jesus.
There's the beauty of it. There's the absolute beauty of it. All right, Jesus left zero, zero, zero doubt of who he was. Zero doubt. Anybody who's honest in their research and conclusions and has an open mind, the only logical conclusion you can come to is Jesus is who he said he was. The actual Son of God. And that's just one illustration here in this baptism. I think that's why Mark started with it. It's just, let's get this out in the open right now. Jesus is making his public appearance, and his first public appearance is to be baptized by him to show everybody to fulfill all righteousness. To do everything that was righteous, right doing. To do absolutely everything that God did require. And God did require John to baptize. It was incumbent upon Jesus to also fulfill all that righteousness. It's God's will. If it's what God commands, it's what we do. The Hebrew writer, I love the book of Hebrews, just makes the point over and over again of who Jesus was. He was greater than the prophets. He was greater than the angels. He was greater than anything created. But he was still what? As a son, he was obedient to the Father. And everything the Father asked, the Son did. Making him the right person. Look, it's all about Jesus. Now,
had he not been baptized, then he was gone against God's will. So that would put him in
right.
The realm of sin. So.
And Savior who is a sinner is not a Savior. But that's Savior. All right. I've gone over. So we got to go back to Mark chapter 1. Suzanne and I, anybody other teachers in here, public school teachers? Don't you love those observations? They come in your room. I do pretty good except for the final part. I never have a closure. I'm supposed to have a closure, and I always get marked up for that. I don't care. I say that because here I don't have a good. I should have already been wrapping this up. That's all right. Back in Mark chapter 1. Again, verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now, verse 10 and 11. This is all just huge stuff. And immediately, coming up from the water. Okay, what does it tell you? I know I'm preaching to the choir if I may say that, but what does that mean? They come up from the water.
Completely immersed.
Why do you, I mean, that's what the word means anyway. And maybe it's not silly. Maybe I'm being ridiculous. If I just need to sprinkle somebody, why are we going to walk down in the water? Okay. He saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There's a lot of things here going on. Now, when it says the heavens parted. By the way, from Malachi to John the Baptist, approximately, how many years has that been?
About
400 years. And the best we know, it's been 400 years of silence. There's not been any prophecies. There's not been any revelations. As best we know, this is not written down for us. There's been no communication. And then here comes John the Baptist doing his thing. Then at Jesus' baptism, let me tell you what this word means. I can't say the word. It's S-C-H-I-Z-O. Every time I think I got a handle on a Greek word, I mess it up. So I'm not going to try to say it. But here's what's happening. Matthew and Luke don't record it this way. Only Mark's the one who record this way. Back in verse, and immediately coming up from the water, verse 10, he saw the heavens parting. That word parting means ripped. It's a dramatic scene, man. The heavens were ripped open. The heavens were tore open, is what that verse is saying. It's only used one other time in the Bible, that word. Remember when Jesus died on the cross and the earth started quaking? What happened in the temple? The temple curtain from the top to the bottom was S-C-H-I-C-O-E-D. It was ripped. It was ripped apart. And that's how Mark is describing this event when Jesus is baptized. The heaven was ripped open. And then what happened?
They saw the Spirit coming out. They used the example like a dove.
Like a dove. I'm glad you said it that way. All right, and then the Spirit, capital S in my Bible, descending upon him like a dove. Even the Bible talks about doves are not eagles. They don't, which eagles are cool, by the way. Coming down, crashing, and, you know, eagles are a little more gentle, lighting down softly and taking their nest. Or doves are. The heavens are open, ripped apart, and then, like a dove, not a dove, but like a dove, descending down like a dove. That was in bodily form. Whatever that was, I don't know. But in bodily form, like a dove coming down gently upon Jesus. And then the voice. And then the voice. And then the voice. This is my son. This is my son. Taryn is my daughter. Emma is my daughter. And I'm proud to say it. I'm sure you're proud of him. I'm sure you're proud of him. You are my beloved son, and I am well pleased with you. Is it a stretch of the imagination to say, here publicly, Jesus saying, it's time, and I'm here to be baptized and to fulfill all righteousness. And after he does that, after he's baptized, that's when the heavens are revealed. That's when the dove comes down, or the Spirit comes down, descending, lighting down like a dove, and that's when the voice says, this is my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased with you. Coincidence? Is anything a coincidence with God in His planning? No. There was a reason and backing all behind it. And
this looks like only
John understands. That's, yeah, I've got some notes on that. I don't know. I don't know. It depends on, I mean, what did John just see a vision? It's like, turn the TV on and it came on, or was like, that's sort of not how I read. I don't know. I don't know, man. I've always studied about that and thought about that. I was going to get into that. But unfortunately, we can't. It's time for me to stop. But did John just see it, or did everybody see it?
Maybe it's like with Paul. They heard thunder, you can get Paul with an actually hearing word.
That's true. That's true. So, the heavens opening, Spirit's descending, the voice is all prophetic things that was fulfilled in Jesus. Thank you. It's time, right? That's done.